Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God set before us this morning is from the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse and following the 9th verse. I will continue reading the remainder of this portion, which describes the great war in heaven. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." This is our lesson. The great English poet John Milton, in Paradise Lost, writes, "His pride had cast him out from heaven with all his host of rebel angels, by whose aid aspiring to set himself in glory above his peers. Him the almighty power hurled headlong, flaming from the ethereal sky with hideous ruin and combustion down to bottomless perdition." In his epic poem, Milton depicts this great battle in heaven that St. John speaks of, and he does it at great length. But in a far more powerful piece of imagery, St. John draws a pretty complete picture in just a few short verses. The scene shows the archangel Michael, who some commentators think represents the Son of God himself. Since the word Michael means like God, he's called the archangel, and the Son is referred to as the angel of the Lord. But this scene shows Michael battling against Lucifer, as he's called elsewhere, the wicked angel who turned against God. We're not shown the creation of these angels, nor do we see their rebellious sin. But what we are shown is the great clash of Michael and the holy angels against Lucifer and the evil angels. In his epistle in the New Testament, Jude also describes this battle. "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." And then he identifies Michael the archangel, who contended with the devil. But in the verses following our text, the front on which the battle is fought changes to the earth. The battle on earth appears to be won by Satan when he subjugates humanity to sin. Just as he drew the other angels into his sin of pride, he also draws Adam and Eve and all of humanity into rebellion against God the Creator. And the battle for the heart of God's creation appears to be lost, with Satan as the victor. But then the focus changes or turns to another battle to be fought. And this is not a battle by man or by the multitude of the angels, but by the one called Angel of the Lord, who has also been referred to as the King of Angels. From the beginning of his life on earth to his bloody death on Calvary, he is locked in mortal combat with the Prince of Darkness. As we sing in an Easter hymn, how fierce and dreadful was the strife when life with death contended. And when he dies, the angel of the Lord also appears to have lost the battle. But he has not, for in his death he is victorious, and he rises from defeat, he rises from death, and he proclaims the victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Prince of Darkness, the Wicked One, is vanquished. He is powerless against God's elect. And yet he roams the earth. Later he's pictured as a chained dragon. Those who are outside of the radius of his chain, outside of his sphere, cannot be harmed, though he constantly invites them into his circle. And daily they stumble into it. And it is that reign of Satan that is especially pictured by St. John when he writes, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short." So this week we commemorate St. Michael. The day is September 29th, and all angels. Now, where are the angels in our lives? Well, it is for this conflict and for this danger that this comforting doctrine of the Bible concerning the angels is given to us. And it's far more powerful stuff than Touched by an Angel or any other such shows. The promise is expressed more profoundly, most profoundly in Psalm 91. "He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up by their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And that's the comfort of which we are to be reminded. Our subject is not the person simply of one angel, Michael, or of the origin and the nature of angels. But it is this, that the angels are given charge over us to guard us and to keep us. And it's under that promise of God, that the child of God lives and prays, "Deliver us from evil." As a child, my parents taught me to picture the angels, one at each corner of my bed, as we prayed Luther's evening prayer, "Let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me." And then, as now, those angels are the protection which God places to guard us and protect us as his children. Even though they are not visible to me, I am yet comforted with that wonderful promise of his word, "He shall give his angels charge over thee." The promise of the gospel is that we are freed from sin and from the curse of the evil angel Satan. I believe that promise, and in faith, I trust this wonderful promise too, that these angels of God are with me, and so that by his will, they deliver me from evil, and that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God. As St. Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.